Welcome back, murder friends, to
Under the Influence of True Crime.
That's Em, and they're telling our story.
That's Kate, and she's under the influence.
Yes, sir.
I'm under the influence of exhaustion.
Oh my gosh, that's actually really relatable. I don't know why I'm so tired recently, but actually I do know. I had a mental breakdown trying to edit today.
Oh, good, good.
Can I tell you, it took me from... I'm ashamed of this. I'm still going to tell you. From 9:30 my time until 4:30 my time.
Oh my
to
God.
Get it finished. It was
AM? AM to PM or PM to AM?
AM to PM.
Okay. Can you hear Bebo's clickety clacks?
Sure, Kansies. I love it.
That sucks.
It was like my brain couldn't focus. It took me probably 30 minutes to get 7 minutes of like usable stuff. And it broke me so deeply that I was like,
I get that way sometimes.
I gotta go.
Like, especially, I feel like I did that really hard when I was doing BTK because mm-hmm. it was basically a 3 hour long episode. And so it was just awful. But like, even that's why I was editing. Like, or not editing, writing today's case. I literally tweeted out.
I saw it. I was like, that was relatable.
I physically can't. I literally sat in this chair for hours just staring at it. And I'm like, are you going to type anything? Or are you just going to stare at it?
I almost retweeted it while I was editing and was like, hey, guess what?
Me too.
Oh, how the turntables have tabled.
Oh, how the turntables have turned. Oh, also, before we get too far into it, I just wanted to let everybody know.
Business.
I'm currently, not really, I'm currently house-sitting / dog-sitting.
Oh.
So there are a lot more animals present with me than normal. So if you hear, like, clickety-clacks on tile, it's just because Bebo needs a nail trim, and I haven't done it yet. And I'm at my friend Sunny's house, and... they're out of town and they have two huskies who like to talk. So you just hear random howling.
They're just communicating with us because they also feel strongly about the story.
They do.
Can I know the names?
Yes. The name of the story.
No, I don't give a shit about that. Oh, tell me the name of the dogs.
The name of the animals. Yeah. Well, Rocky.
Sorry, I don't give a shit about your true crime bullshit. I care about these dogs, I said.
I misunderstood the assignment. Listen, I did want to say, I don't have a ton of pictures from this case, so I'm going to get the okay from Sunny, and I will be posting their beautiful faces. Rocky is the cat.
At first, when you said, I'm going to get permission from Sunny, and I'm going to be posting their beautiful face, I was like, Sunny's face? And then I was like, Sunny's the dogs.
Face. The dog. The dog. So Rocky the cat is a whole fucking loaf of bread. I call him Wonder
Loaf. Your cat's name was Rocky.
Well, my parents' cat's name is Rocky.
Okay, so there is another cat in the home.
There's two Rockies.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Is it Rocky the one who, like, if you touch him, he's like, you've activated it.
That's
I'm
exactly
ready now.
Well, honestly, both Rockies are that way, but mostly my parents' Rockies. You can't even say his name in the house. He'll come running.
I love him so deeply. Your parents get so mad when I come over there.
I love him so much. He's a good boy. And even this Rocky's a good boy, but this Rocky is a whole fucking loaf pan.
Is he just a big fat boy?
If he walks by, I will grab him to show you. He's a whole fucking loaf of bread. And then Charlie, and then Titan. And Bebo is here too.
Bubba.
Bucky is at my house alone.
Devastating.
Unfortunately. I know. She wasn't allowed to come.
Wasn't allowed or wasn't comfortable. That's worse more.
So the problem is that Bucky hasn't ever interacted with another cat before.
And also like, that Bucky fully believes that she's not a
Bucky
cat.
Bucky thinks she's a dog. Bucky straight up believes that she's a dog. And so like having Bebo come into their domain was a whole other thing. Having a cat who truly and honestly thinks that she's a dog coming into their domain seemed like too much work.
I know that you guys like don't really understand the size of Buck also when you see the photos of her online, but like,
yeah, Bucky
she
is
small. So small.
Like I posted that picture of her laying on my computer. It's like a normal size computer, and you would think that it's like a gigantic computer because she doesn't even fill up the whole keyboard.
Yeah, no.
She's tiny.
So that's really important to be noted. She weighs like 5 pounds, maybe.
Six pounds, excuse you.
I'm so sorry. My cat weighed himself this week.
How much does he weigh?
I sent you the picture, 12.4 pounds.
I didn't get a picture.
Oh, lies. I'll send it again, though.
I absolutely did not get a picture.
You're going to see this photo, and you're going to be like, oh, I did get that photo.
Yeah, Bucky weighs 6 pounds, and Beeble weighs 65 pounds, and I'm currently in the market for an apartment, and every single apartment I find, or every house that I find that's for rent, is like, oh, small dogs only. And so I was trying to convince people that Beeble was 40 pounds. And so, like, I went to work, and I was like, hey, Leah, I think I asked Kelly. I was like, listen, guys, if you didn't know how much Beeble weighed, how much would you think he weighs? Because to me, he is a baby. Like, he weighs nothing. Uh-huh. He's a baby boy. They were like, I don't know, 70 pounds.
How much does he actually weigh?
65. Bunch of bitches.
See,
I'm trying to convince landlords that he's only 40 pounds, though, so I can take him with me. But alas, no luck so far.
Listen, I have no understanding of weights or anything like that.
Yeah.
So like I could easily be like 40 pounds, sure. Makes sense.
Well, and also like if you have two dogs in front of you and one is like 65 pounds plus and one is like, you know, minus 12 pounds, do you know which one's more of an asshole?
The minus 12 pounds one.
The little one is a bitch.
Oh, I know.
Beeble's just a sweet boy with anxiety. Keep an eye out for the socials this
really
week.
We're going to be cute. Posting
so many cat
animal
dog
pics.
Pictures.
Yeah, right.
Because, like, I just don't have a lot of pics for this case. And so, like, so that's that. Do we have any more business? I feel like we had more business. Oh, the business, continuing the business. I still haven't posted on the Twitter.
Oh.
Even though I'm on Twitter all the time. I don't know what to tweet because, like, my Twitter, @disappointingm, isn't. It's literally just full of, like, my random thoughts throughout the day.
I think it would be just, like, kind of funny if we ran it, like, one of those brand accounts where they just say really, like, kind of uncomfortable things at really random parts of the day. Like, when you're, like, pro tip, cutting a peach skin can be just, like, dissecting human. Or you know what I mean? Like, just, like, a really
weird.
I understand.
Okay.
Peeling grapes can make it feel like you just stuck your hand in a bowl of eyeballs. Like, just some real weird shit.
That's going to be my first tweet is the eyeball one.
Oh, great.
Great, we've got it.
Okay. Ready for an afternoon snack? Peel your grapes first. Stick your hand in that shit. Is it an eyeball? I don't know.
Here, live on the air. I'm going to create our first tweet.
Ooh, I'm so glad I could be
I haven't even followed anyone yet.
Oh, that's funny. I saw that. Because Jay-Z was like, I never expect shout outs. And I was like, what shout out did we give you? And she was like, he said I was the first follower to your Twitter. I was like, I haven't even followed it yet. And so I got on and I did it.
I have tweeted, and I quote, hungry for a snack, but also want to know what eyeballs feel like in your mouth. Peel some grapes and go to town, big boy.
I'm going to go retweet that. That's the funniest thing. I like that.
So before we get started, I wanted to plug, because my friend, her name's Kate, not this one.
It is not me. It's the more successful Kate that we know. I don't know her, but she sounds great. She sounds fantastic.
She's fantastic.
Kate, send me the link. I would also like to order your book as well.
My friend wrote a book, and it came out a couple weeks ago. I just got my signed copy.
And it's beautiful.
So beautiful. Don't worry, I'm going to make a post. I'm going to show you guys what it looks like. I'm going to give you guys the link. It's called Under the Black Banners by K.L. Morrison. And it's so fucking cool. So the best part is if you go to her website and you order the signed copies, she has these really fun swag bags that she's sending out. And she handmade all of these items out of resin. And so like there's a really beautiful bookmark and she like, I got some really cool stuff. She said,
yeah, I was like, don't spoil all of it because it looks beautiful.
She like personally picked out the stuff that I got and I'll post a picture of it. But like, I'm going to like, you guys will get some really cool stuff.
When I order, can you tell her that I love her?
Yeah. Great. So you can go to klmorrison.com, or you can also snag one on Amazon, but they're not as cool on Amazon.
But we are going to post the link to her site.
We're going to post the links. We're going to post a picture. I'll post a little snippet from the back.
But really quick also, just a quick interjection based on what Em just said to everybody. I would like to say, don't support Jeffrey Bezos. We should support the small business.
Because
listen, Kate gets 100% of the, well, I don't know her numbers, but you know what I mean? From like,
right,
her website. I hate Jeff Bezos.
She gets a lot more.
It's my soapbox
website
of the day.
And not only does she get more, you get more, because you're getting a signed copy and all of this cool stuff that she has been hand making for months and months. Like, she's like been I've been watching her progress on this. Like, she handmade, she like really poured her heart into all of this shit. And she is physically with her hands doing all of it. Like, she self-published this book. She's, you know, getting it ready to ship out. She made all of this fun stuff for all the people who have ordered one already and sent it out herself. And it came shipped. I mean, it was beautiful. Plus, we got all this cool stuff.
She's going to send me the link. I'm going to sign off and I'm going to buy it. So.
Yeah. Oh, and then also, she also, like, listen, if you are interested in, like, the writing process and, like, how to, like, self-publish stuff, which, like, definitely I know we are, she has this amazing podcast. It's called Indies Fully Booked Podcast. Cute. And you want to talk about someone who has a voice for podcasting? It's her. It's so, I love
Kate,
listening to it.
Why can you do it all?
She really can. She's so fucking talented. The coolest part, we've never even met. We are solely online
good
friends.
Energy.
I added her on Facebook because I was trying to get into a murder group and you had to be invited. And she was just like, hey, send me a friend request and I'll invite you. And we just never unadded each other. And now she is literally the coolest person on my friends list.
Yeah.
She's so fucking cool. And like, I've been watching the progress on this book and she's worked so fucking hard. So like, if you're interested and like, we'll post all about it on our Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all of it.
As well as the links, don't worry.
And all of the links. It's called Under the Black Banners by K.L. Morrison. Go fucking get a copy because it's so beautiful. And I started reading it. It's so fucking good. I love it. I'm very proud of you, Kate. Great job.
Yes. My namesake twin. I also am very proud of you and I'm excited to place my order.
I know. I'm so excited. It's fucking beautiful. Absolutely beautiful.
Kate, do you listen to this, Kate?
She does. She
Kate.
Listens. She's the one. She's the Kate who is always liking our stuff in our group.
Shit. Kate.
I know. I was going to say, I know you've seen her.
Hey, what's good?
Yeah. So anyway, go order a copy of Under the Black Banners. We will post all of the links on all of our socials.
Yes. I also need the link.
Yes, I'll send it to you. Anyway, I think that's everything. Are you ready for today's story?
No.
Great. This is the story of Mary Ann Cotton. I didn't know this story. That name was not familiar to me at all. But she is one of England's most prolific serial killers.
Oh, shit.
The fact that she's not, like, a well-known name is kind of insane to me. She's also known as the Black Widow Killer, which I'm into. Listen.
Listening.
This story is fucking bonkers. Like, you remember how absolutely bananas Bobby Dunbar was? I feel like this story is even fucking weirder and crazier, and it's, like, a little hard to follow, but we're gonna do our best. Okay, so trigger warning for this episode. We're going to talk about poisoning. We're going to talk about sickness. And we're also going to talk about children's death. There's a lot of kids dying in this story. But, like, it's also not, like, graphic. We don't go into detail. But, like, there's a lot of it.
It's also important to remember that this all happened in a very long ago time. So these kids have
been
dead.
Yeah, so how I explained it to Kate is, like, I was like, yeah, like, 12 kids die. But it happened in 1830-something, so it's like we're all a little desensitized to it, you know? Okay, so are you ready?
Emotionally, no. Spiritually, yes.
Okay. Mary Ann Cotton was born October 31st. Halloween, baby. 1832 in Lowmorrisley, which is a small village in Sunderland, which is in northeast England. That was a lot of words I couldn't pronounce.
Sunderland?
Sunderland. Huh. S-U-N-D-E-R.
Sunderland.
So her parents were Michael and Margaret Robinson. Robin? I'm pretty sure it's Robinson. And I just
Are you okay?
It's a spelling error, and that's on me. I'm 90% sure it's Robinson.
That was just like the segue sentence that you just experienced just then was just so powerful. I was like, are you good?
No, the answer is no. So just keep in mind, her mom's name is Margaret. Just keep that in mind. She had two siblings. Her sister, unfortunately, passed away in 1834 and was only a couple months old. And her brother was born in 1835. When Mary was 8 in February of 1842, her father, who was a coal miner, fell 150 feet to his death while at work. And his body was brought to the family's home in like a burlap sack with the like Cole's name stamped on the front of it.
We got you this.
It's a gift.
Look, you're not going to like what's inside, but it's important that you have it. For taxes, probably.
Delivery.
FedEx, now bringing you
bodies.
Your dead husband back from the war.
Okay. So after that, like the family really fell on some hard times and they were almost evicted from their home. So in 1843, Mary's mom remarried a man named George Sott, who Mary fucking hated. She hated this man.
Mary's mom, Margaret, Mary.
When Mary was 16, she left the family's home, and that was...
Because she hated her stepdad?
Yeah. Yeah.
She goes, ayo, fuck that man.
Ayo. And so she left when she was 16, and she became a nurse in a nearby village. And then in 1850, at the age of 20, she married her first husband, William Mowbray, is how I'm going to say it. And the couple moved to Southwest England. Mary and William had 5 children.
Ew. Sorry. Whoa.
And so this is a little bit debated because although births this time were supposed to be registered, it wasn't being like... overseen, like
checking the census didn't exist. Got it.
It wasn't being enforced at all, and
so they just didn't register their kid,
right? Even Mary said, yeah, we had 5 kids, and only one of the children were registered, and it was her daughter Margaret Jane, who was born in 1856.
Named after her mom. I remember the name.
Same name as her mom, yeah.
What is the contended part? That there are 5 kids?
Yeah, that she had 5 kids because they weren't registered.
Okay, but
only
like...
one of them was registered.
Were some kids dying? I mean, did she walk around with 5 kids? Like, what's up?
Here's what happened.
I forgot about the dead children tag in the beginning. That was my bad. That was on me. Sorry, Jesus. I'm back in it.
So out of the 5 children, 4 of them died. And that's why it's kind of debated.
Because only one survived. You when I walk myself into a circle and then I end it up dies. Right where you're about to go and I go.
Because it's always, you always ask the question and it's literally the next sentence every single time.
Makes me feel like I'm on Sherlock Holmes and the 2-minute mysteries.
So four of the 5 kids died, supposedly from gastric fever, which is also known as typhoid fever. And I kind of use those interchangeably. Yeah.
What age did the kids die at?
They weren't registered.
When are you supposed to register them? Like right when they're born or like you're supposed to hit it when like a certain... Okay.
They weren't giving like... I don't know if they weren't getting birth certs or what, but like... A lot
they didn't
of
go to the town squire and say, here you, here you.
It wasn't happening in hospitals. And so it was home birth. And so if, like, you didn't, like, let officials know that you had a kid, there's no way of knowing if you had a kid.
Did you even hear? You didn't laugh at all.
I didn't hear anything you said.
I want you don't tell the town squire, say hear ye, hear ye.
There's been a baby.
That wife that lives in my home, she's popped out another one. Write it down.
That's five now.
No, my last name is...
How many are there? 36.
36, but last year there were 37. 36, counted them myself.
So, listen. Throughout this story, I didn't realize I did it until the end, but I kind of used gastric fever and typhoid fever interchangeably.
Honestly, but this is pick one and I will believe you. Great. And it'll be fine.
So this was actually a very common thing, especially like with kids, newborns. There was a lot of like fetal fatalities happening. It's the Victorian era. A lot of kids are dying, you know.
Apparently that's still a thing now. So like, I couldn't even imagine like in the age before like modern medicine, because like apparently you can like take your kid home and it just like
dies.
Fucking die.
Yeah. Who chooses to be a parent? So this it was a
riddle me that, Batman.
So typhoid fever, gastric fever, whatever you want to call it, was very common, and it was a bacterial infection caused by contaminated food or water. So it was usually in your stomach is where the issues would happen.
For sure. Typhoid Mary. I'm with you.
Right. So in 1858, Mary had another daughter named Isabella.
Wait, uh-huh. So is this one of the five kids?
This is that no, were so there were five, four died. So she's down to one, then she just had another.
So we're building. So these ones are everyone we hear the name down. Of is a registered kid.
Mm-hmm.
Got it. So we lost the original four.
Right.
Yep. Got it. I'm with you.
So she had Isabella, and then 2 years later, Margaret Jane, the one surviving out of the five, died of gastric fever.
Shit, I was going to be like, oh, the girls are living. And then I was like, well, there it went.
So that was in 1860. And then in 1861, Mary had another daughter and also named her Margaret Jane.
I don't think that's legal.
The name of the kid that fucking died. It's so fucking weird to me.
Dude, that happened in... Shit. What was it? There's like a thing where like the older brother dies or whatever, and they just name the other one. They're like, eh, Edward. No.
I don't know. I don't know what we're talking about. Are you ready?
Sorry. I don't even know what case we're doing. Yeah, I do. I forgot where we're at. I'm so sorry.
We are so far into it already.
I'm sorry. My brain blinked. That was my bad. It all came back for a second.
Okay, so her mom was Margaret. She had Margaret Jane.
No, I'm with you. Margaret Jane died. We just had
Margaret Jane squared. She just gave birth to another Margaret Jane.
Yeah.
So fucking weird. After so many of their kids have died, because now we're to... Five kids in total have died so far. Yeah.
Same husband?
Same husband so far.
Wow. Really fertile family. Okay.
So after the death of all of, like, most of his kids, William took out a life insurance policy all on himself because, like, he was like, oh, all of our kids are dying. I should get insured. So he took out the life insurance policy, and then they had another child named Robert John William. So if you're keeping track at home, this is the eighth child she has had now.
Wait, Len, I am keeping track at home.
Because there were four that died originally.
No, I'm with you. But then that one died. And then we have Isabel. And then we have the second one. So we're at three living kids.
We have three living kids. No. Yeah, three living kids currently.
Eight dead kids. Yep. Shit, you said 12 dead kids at the beginning. A woman works hard.
Ooh. So gave birth to Robert John William, the eighth kid. And then a year later, Robert died of gastric fever.
Rest in peace, Robert.
This is the sixth child that has died at this point, yeah.
I just want to know how old these kids are.
That's the thing. They're not registered, so we don't know. We have no ages for any of them. Then in January of 1865, William died. Do you want to guess what William died of?
Can I guess it was gastric fever?
It was gastric fever. Shit. Mary collected the life insurance. I am a psycho.
Wow.
What? Mary collected his life insurance policy. What?
I said psycho instead of psychic.
I heard it. That's why I went, wow.
I'm a psychic is what I meant to say.
I'm with you. So Mary collected the life insurance policy or the life insurance money, which was at the time worth 35 euros, which in today's money is 4,510 euros or around $5,400 US dollars.
That's
Which, that's not too
at
bad.
At the time, it was the average pay of 18, like an 18-month pay from William's job as a coal miner.
Okay.
Basically what that was. So after William's death, Mary moved to Seaham with her two remaining daughters, Isabella and Margaret, which are the only two remaining kids that are still alive.
Lucky them.
This is where she met Joseph Natris. It's mattress, but with an N. Natris.
Okay.
So this is where she met Joseph Natris, whom she was having an affair with, supposedly before William ever died. While there, the second Margaret died.
Shit, so we're just down to Isabel?
Just Isabel right now. So Joseph was actually engaged to another woman, and she was, like, trying to get him to leave her, but he wouldn't. And so she returned home, sent Isabella to live with her mom, and went back to work as a nurse.
Wait,
at this hospital.
She Isabella's mom?
She sent Isabella to live with Mary's mom, Margaret.
Oh, her grandma.
Yeah. So
I misunderstood. Okay.
It's fine. I don't think I said it correctly. So she sent Isabella to live with her grandma, Mary's mom. And then Mary went to work as a nurse. And stick with me here, because the name of this hospital I have written down, it is
John Jacob Jingleheimer Schmidt.
No, the Sunderland Infirmary, House of Recovery for the Cure of Contagious Fever, Dispensary, and Humane Society. That's where she went to work.
How do you fit that on a badge?
I don't know. While working there, she met George Ward, who was one of her patients. He was a steamboat engineer, and in August of 1865, only 8 months after William, her first husband's death, the two were married.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, George recovered from the illness that had him in the hospital when he met Mary, and then a year later, he died from gastric fever, and Mary collected another life insurance payout.
You're a transparent girl.
It's so many. Okay, so here we go. In 1866... Mary started work as a housekeeper for a man named James Robinson.
And how old is she at this point?
She is 1866, and she was born in 1832.
Oh, okay. She's in her, like, 30s-ish, 20s, 30s, whatever.
34.
Cool.
So, she started working as a housekeeper for a man named James Robinson. He was a shipmaker who was recently widowed. And he had four kids with his late wife, Hannah.
Oh, no. Run. Yeah. Run, so, kids.
That's what, like, had him seeking a housekeeper, someone to help him with the kids. And a month after Mary began working there, youngest child, James Jr.,
died of gastric fever. Yeah. Listen, that is not how she should have played this Sound of Music-esque lifestyle she was craving.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So James Jr. dies. And then James Robinson turns to Mary and was like, oh, Mary, I'm so sad that my child has died. Why don't we have more kids?
There it was. Are they even married at this point? I thought not they yet. Were like just housekeeper and like guy.
Currently, yeah. So they get engaged at this point, but they're not married yet. And then Mary's mother becomes ill from hepatitis. And so,
you mean gastric fever?
Not yet.
Come on.
Not yet.
Mary.
So her mom gets sick from hepatitis. She goes down there and she's caring for her. She is like starting to feel a little bit better. And 9 days after Mary gets there, her mom dies of gastric fever.
Thank you, everybody, for coming to this episode tonight. I will be not seeing you next week. I hate this.
Yeah. Don't worry. It only gets worse from here.
Oh, good. I was worried.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So after her mom died, she brought her daughter Isabella home back to James Robinson's house. Which, like, also a little weird thing is, like, so her mom died, And then, like, 2 seconds later, her stepdad married the neighbor.
What the fuck is wrong with this family?
I don't know. So in April of 1867, two of James's children and Isabella die of gastric fever.
Oh, so now we're just down to one kid.
Now again? There's just the one.
None of hers.
There's none.
Oh, wait. So he had four.
There's none.
There's that one. Three, and then Isabella just now?
Isabella just now. Because Margaret the second died. The boy died. And now Isabella died. But she's, like, currently pregnant.
I thought there were three kids and then Isabella. From the His guy? Kids. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what we have left,
now,
right?
Now they're dead.
Okay.
He had four and three of them are dead. I think there's one left.
That was what I was asking. I was like, so we just have the one left, right?
I think we just have the one, but it's a step kid.
Right. And I was saying none of hers, though.
No, she is down to none except for the one that she's pregnant with.
Got it. Okay.
Mary collected €5 in life insurance from her daughter's death.
That's
she did this for $5.
What is that in today's time? Tell me something better.
No, I mean, because, like, I mean, 35 euros was only $5,400. So €5 isn't anything.
Ugh.
Probably $200. August 11th, 1867, Mary and James married, and in November, they had a daughter named Margaret Isabella.
I can't stand it here.
Why do they keep reusing the same fucking names? This is now the third Margaret she's had and the second Isabella she's had.
It's just easier to remember, probably.
I mean, I guess if you keep killing them, it just doesn't count.
Yeah, it's not there, so prove it. Prove that I had a kid named that.
So Margaret Isabella then died in February.
Jesus, fuck.
But no, you're misunderstanding. She died of gastric fever.
I am shocked.
So then, June 18th, 1869, they had a son named George.
Yep, and then he died. Oh, I'm sorry. Did I steal your thunder?
No, this one survives. Get ready. Okay, so James starts growing really suspicious of Mary because she was demanding that he get a life insurance policy. I mean, like, demanding it. And he also found evidence of debt, like, quite a large amount of debt. And that she was pawning things from his house to try and make money. And also was, like, stealing money from his bank account. Like,
oh, and also, finding evidence. All your fucking kids are dead.
All your kids are just dying. Yikes. So, James and Mary separate, and he takes full custody of George. So,
good.
James is the only husband to survive Mary, and George is the first child of hers to live so far.
Because they left her. Okay, yeah. That math adds up.
So Mary became homeless for a short time and was living on the street when her friend, Margaret Cotton, introduced her to her brother, Frederick Cotton.
Not her friend. Stop introducing people. Oh, God.
Mm-hmm. So Frederick was another widow who had recently lost his wife and had actually lost two of his children because, again, like,
It is 1800s, right. Murdering person aside.
Exactly. But he still had two other kids. And so he was needing help with housekeeping and with childcare. And so he hired Mary as a housekeeper.
I think I've seen the end of this story.
So Frederick was at the time working as a coal miner. And Margaret Cotton, his sister, was helping Frederick and really became a mother figure to his two remaining kids. And then in March 1870, Margaret died.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Of gastric fever.
Yeah. So soon after, Mary became pregnant with Frederick's baby. If you're keeping track at home, this is now her 12th pregnancy. And she has one single child who she does not have custody of anymore. And that's
honestly,
George.
I need a roadmap to follow these murders.
I told you, it's fucking bonkers and hard to follow. And honestly, I don't even really know what's going on. So in September of 1870, Mary and Frederick tried to get married, but Mary was still legally married to James Robinson. And so their marriage wasn't legal, but she did take his last name. And so then she was known as Mary Ann Cotton instead of all of those other last names she had.
Yeah, it was like the billion other things. Jeez.
Exactly. So their son Robert was born in early 1871. And after his birth, Mary learned that Joseph Natress from earlier, her lover on the DL who wouldn't leave his fiance, was single and living 30 miles away in West Uckland.
Oh, shit.
Mary was somehow able to convince Frederick and her new family to move there. And she started sleeping with Joseph.
Again.
And so then, out of left field, no one's going to see this coming. Frederick Cotton died of gastric fever.
What?
I know.
I've never heard of anybody getting gastric fever in this place.
Who knew? So as soon as her husband, Frederick, died, Joseph moves in with her. And she starts working as a nurse for a man. And his name is either Richard Quick Mann or John Quick Manning. Depends on which resource you look at. So I'm just going to call him Quick because that's the only thing that was tangible between the two.
Sure.
So he was a customs officer who was recovering from smallpox, which is why he was needing a nurse. And quickly after meeting, Mary became pregnant for the 13th time.
Jeez Louise.
So because the new baby was coming, so I'm thinking that Joseph didn't know that the baby wasn't his, because as soon as she gets pregnant, It's Quick. It's either Richard or John. Oh,
Lord have
it's
mercy.
It's his baby.
Of course it is.
But Joseph is like, you know, this is my mistress.
Yeah, naturally.
So before the baby was born, Joseph rewrote his will to include Mary. Like, it really benefited Mary. She was going to get everything. So anyway, he died of gastric fever.
Yeah, I was like, then that was that.
Yeah. So did her son Robert.
Oh.
And then Frederick's son, Frederick Jr., also died of gastric fever. And all three of those happened within a month of each other.
Wow, that fever is claiming lives.
I know. Mary tried to send Charles Cotton, who was the last remaining Cotton child, to a workhouse, which is basically an institution for poor people. They took in people who couldn't afford to care for themselves, and they lived there and worked there. When Charles refused, an officer told Mary that she was going to have to look after him because,
oh, no.
He was, like, technically his guardian. She said, and I quote, "I won't be troubled long. He'll go like all the rest of the Cottons."
Oh, Lord.
And 5 days later, the completely healthy Charles was dead from gastric fever.
Yep, that math adds up.
And so after he died, her first stop was to the insurance broker to try to get a life insurance payout from this.
Yeah. Where would she have gone?
Finally, after that, someone caught on to what was happening. Blah, blah, blah. Dr. William Byers, the doctor who cared for Charles, had taken samples and found evidence of arsenic. And when he came forward with this information, Mary was arrested and they exhumed Charles's body for further testing. She was charged for the murder, but the trial had to wait until Mary could give birth to her 13th and final child. Guess what this child's first name was?
Was it a boy or a girl?
The girl.
Margaret.
Yeah, this is quite the name. This 13th child was Margaret Edith Quick Manning Cotton.
Wow.
It's a handful. So, because, like, she had gotten arrested at this point, this Margaret is only her second child ever to survive. There's a lot of noise in the background, and I'm so sorry. The dogs are, like, playing. Hey, guys. Stop.
No.
Why did you guys get up and start fighting when I'm almost done? Anyway, so because Mary was in custody at this time, Margaret the third.
Yeah, I was gonna say, let's be specific. First Margaret, second Margaret.
I think this might be the fourth.
Yeah.
So this is only her second child to survive out of all of these kids.
Jeez.
And then out the other 13. One's obviously George from that marriage that James kept, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
So Mary's trial began March 5th, 1873. And the defense was that arson was in everything and he must have accidentally consumed it, which we'll come back to this. And then when that didn't work, they were like, well, that doctor probably accidentally gave it to Charles because he was so distracted from talking to other people that he didn't know he was giving him arsenic.
Oh my gosh, that is what? A stretch and a half.
Honestly. So it took the jury only 90 minutes to come back with a guilty verdict. And Mary was sentenced to death by hanging. And reported in the Times, a newspaper in England said, and I quote, after conviction, the wretched woman exhibited strong emotion, but this gave place in a few hours to her habitual cold, reserved demeanor. And while she harbors a strong conviction that the royal clemency will be extended towards her, which basically means that she thought the monarch was going to pardon her. But, like, obviously she wasn't pardoned.
Yeah, like, why would they pardon her? People. Right? Like, you're awful.
Mary was executed March 24th, 1873. I think she was 41, 43, around there. But the rope that was used to hang her was too short. And so instead of death from her neck breaking, she was strangled to death. And, like, many think that this was deliberate. Like, they think that this was, like, done intentionally so that she would suffer.
Good.
So how was she able to get away with so many deaths? She used arsenic, which was nearly unidentifiable back then. Which, like, now, it's the one that smells like almonds. It is really hard to see. And its side effects did very closely resemble gastric fever. And so, like, they just didn't even think to look at it because also a lot of shit wasn't getting reported. Things weren't getting, like, a lot of this isn't even on record books because it was the 1840s.
Right.
Since it was that time, it was the Victorian era, and everything was made with arsenic.
Isn't that funny? We're slamming them. And, like, at that time for them, they're like, we're the most advanced society that's ever lived. And we're like, eh, fuck them. 18, whatever, idiots.
There was arsenic in paint and wallpaper. You couldn't walk into a house without getting some arsenic in you. This is also when those green dresses were being made that was killing women because it was just littered with arsenic, because that's all the green dye was back then, was fucking poison. Jesus. So you would put on the green dress and just, like, fucking die, but at least I guess you looked good.
That's the goal, really.
So there's also, in this time, I found multiple reports of people who would die from, like, lighting a candle and it would burn and put arsenic in the air.
Oh, shit.
And they would die. So, like, it was happening a lot and it did look like gastric fever, but still. So Mary Ann Cotton could be considered one of England's most prolific serial killers. In all, she killed 11 of her 13 kids. She killed her mother, 3 of her husbands, a friend, a boyfriend, and 4 stepchildren. And in total, she had at least 21 victims, potentially more.
Jeez.
And that's it. That's the fucking bonkers ass story of Margaret Ann Cotton. And by Margaret, I mean Mary. Mary Ann Cotton is fucking insane.
That was insane to hear.
Yeah. It was wild. It was hard to research too, because, like, there's not, like,
because 1800s.
Exactly. And so, like, a lot of the shit, and I'm like, I don't 100% know, but I'm gonna just figure it out.
Power through, hope for the best.
Literally. So anyway, that's it. That's the fucking bonkers bananas case.
Nutter butters.
And, like I hadn't even heard of this story.
Yeah, that's nuts.
I don't even really remember how I came across it.
That was really entertaining and very confusing and disturbing.
I feel like even after this, after all my research and doing all of this and stuff, if, like, someone was like, hey, what happened with Mary Ann Cotton? I'm like, I have no fucking idea.
Like, shit, man, a lot of dead kids, man, homies.
A lot of dead kids, a lot of dead husbands.
Truly. Yeah.
I thought this one might, I mean, it was rough. It was a bad one, but it, like, was a decent break after yours from last week.
Yeah, no, Mikey. I'm sorry, everyone, if you guys ever get an Instagram post about it, we'll see. I'm notoriously the worst, but I posted all the photos on the first one, so I lost all inspiration for the second.
I mean, you wouldn't even really need to post anything. Just post the cover art and be like, here you go. Anyway, do we have anything else? Is that it?
No, if that's all you had, then I think that that's all that there was for this week. All
right, that's it. All right, it'll be Kate's case again next week, but that's until true. Then, okay, to see pictures, probably not from this case, but at least pictures of our animals, you can follow our Instagram
at Under the Influence of True Crime.
We will also post them on our Facebook group
at Under the Influence of True Crime.
You can also see them on our Twitter because I finally tweeted.
Yay, at Under True Crime.
You can also send us an email
at Under the Influence of True Crime @gmail.com.
You know what else you can do? Rate, review, and subscribe.
Literally anywhere you listen to them podcasts.
Anywhere. If you're on a platform that doesn't let you review, because I know there are some that doesn't let you review, you can still subscribe.
Amazing.
Oh, also, you can pre-order, and by pre-order, I mean order. You can order my friend's book, Under the Black Banners, at klmorrison.com.
Amazing.
You can also join us right back here next week for some more
spooky tales. Cool.
No, this is definitely made out of Triscuits.
That is a food.
Yeah. You know how Triscuits taste like a wire basket?